One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is so great to be with you guys today. This is episode 1,527 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. I have to thank our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, and David Gill. You guys make this show happen, and everybody showing up in the chat. I freaking love it. We're going to be talking NFC West Outlook, which is about as positive as you could possibly be. This weekend, you know, how cool was it watching football Sunday, already having the 49ers win in the bag, understanding you have a mini bye week, 49ers get 10 days till they play again, and then watching the entire NFC West just implode and lose games. And like, oh, it was wonderful. Everything about everything was just so great. So great. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this Sunday. It was nice. RTPFTW, my man. What's up, buddy? Can't wait. Yeah, he says enjoyed the hate watch yesterday. That's what it was. On to Tampa. Man, this Tampa Bay showdown's huge. Are you kidding me? Both 4-1 teams. Both leading their division. All 10 games played by the Bucs and the 49ers this year. All decided by one possession. All 10 games. All 5 for the Niners. All 5 for the Bucs. Dude, too gritty. Do whatever you have to do. Go get the win type teams. Oh, I cannot wait. Cannot wait. That's right, Applesauce. Best in the West. Thanks for all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew. You guys are the best. You guys are the best. What's up? What's up? I love it. Today's a big day. It is the wife's birthday, which I wasn't sure whenever I was going to be able to go live today, but had to sneak one in. Sorry, it's not our usual scheduled programming time, but yeah, the wife, she's still got to work on her birthday, so I'm like, all right, cool. I could throw some of this in there, and then we're going to celebrate her later this evening. I'm excited about that. You guys are awesome. Yeah, Cam's dad, he says, you know, this game is tough. Baker is on fire. Like, man, you look at MVPs across this league. It's only 5 weeks, but like Baker's got to be at the forefront of that conversation. Has to be. Like if you're going from three names, four names, five names, Baker's in the mix. There's no doubt about it. And with the 49ers having no pass rush. I don't really expect that to change too much. So, yeah, but he's there. The rest of the NFC West lost. What a great week. Man, so now the 49ers. Let's talk about the NFC West. So we're going to be covering Malik Mustafa. They activated his practice window. We're going to go over who practiced, who didn't, who's working out on the side field, what all those things, what the 49ers wide receiver room should be looking like moving forward, all those things. But let's talk about the NFC West. Because not only are the 49ers in first place by themselves, they are also, like, this division, like, you've got to kind of give it to it. It's kind of badass. Like, the NFC West, you could make the argument is the best division in football. Several different ways that you could do that. One, they have the most combined wins of any division. Okay, so they have 12 combined wins. No other team can say that. No other division can say that. They're also the only division in football where all four teams, including the Arizona Cardinals, have a positive point differential on the season. All of them. The 49ers are almost at the lowest. Only 8 points positive differential, point differential on the season. Yet they're 4-1. Nasty one possession games. All of them have been. And so, man, you're talking about the most wins of a division. You're in first place standalone. You have the Seattle Seahawks at 3-2, the Rams at 3-2. But the difference between the Seattle Seahawks and the Rams, who are technically one game behind, you own all the tiebreakers. The 49ers are 3-0 in the division, plus they already have the head-to-head against both those teams. Seattle Seahawks are 1-1 in the division, and the Rams are 0-1. They've only had one division game, and they lost it. You go to conference record. 49ers are 4-0, perfect. Seattle Seahawks, 2-2. Rams, 0-2 in the conference. They don't have a conference win. Now, the Arizona Cardinals, I do have to say, I enjoyed every second of that. I hate the Cardinals, not because I'm, like, concerned about them or they're a threat or I have bad memories. I hate the Cardinals because I have no respect for them. I have no respect for their head coach. I've been very consistent on this. I think that he is not a good human being. I don't like the way he treats people. And you just saw him hit, you know, Amari DiMercado on the sideline. Like, dude's losing that locker room. One, his personality is insane. But yeah, you don't put your hands on grown men. Like, come on, bro. And Amari DiMercado, yeah, he's an idiot. Well, you're either coaching or letting it happen. Like, how did you not go over the mistake that happened from AD Mitchell last week? That's your fault as a coach. Yeah, you can blame others. You can do whatever else. But, dude, you're coaching one of the worst losses I've ever seen in the history of the NFL. One of the worst losses I've ever seen. Ever seen. Michael Bidwell is one of the worst owners. And, again, yeah, I think they have had historically the lowest paid head coach because the owner is kind of cheap. For, I think, over a decade now. Like, you get what you pay for, man. But the NFC West, the fact that you are standalone in first place, the fact that you own a head-to-head tiebreaker against the Seahawks, Rams, and Cardinals, the fact that you have a 3-0 divisional record, no other team in the division has more than one win. Literally, there's only one win between the three of them. Conference record, you have. And I said last week, man, if the 49ers can find a way to win this Thursday night matchup in which they're underdogs, they would have this stranglehold over this division. And people are like, dude, it's week five. You're being whatever. And I was like, no. Yeah, I understand it's week five, but you're 3-0 in the conference. You're 3-0 or 4-0 in the conference, 3-0 in the division. You win this. And it has played out that way. I'm not right all the time. I was right on this. And the 49ers are just sitting there just like, just complete control, where they could drop a game and everybody else can win, and you're still in first place by all the tiebreakers. By all the tiebreakers. That's huge. David Gill, what's up, man? Oh, speaking of producer, let's go. Best in the West. I freaking love it. This Tampa Bay game, it is huge. Now, the division in the NFC South is the exact opposite. Right? You have the Bucs at 4-1. They're 2-1 in the division. So the 49ers, one, they're ahead of them in the tiebreaker. The only team ahead of us is the Philadelphia Eagles. So if the playoffs started today, the Eagles would be the one seed, 49ers would be the two seed. That's because of strength of victory, right? So you have to get down to like the fifth tiebreaker because the Eagles are undefeated in division. The Eagles are undefeated in conference as well. But whenever you get to strength of victory, like Niners would be the two seed. Well, what the hell is strength of victory? All right. It is basically what is the winning percentage of every team you beat. So you look at the four teams the 49ers beat, you look at the four teams the Eagles beat, who has the best winning percentage between those four teams you beat? Eagles win handedly, right? They are playing a first-place schedule. The 49ers are playing a last-place schedule based on how they finished the 2024, the previous season, right? So the Eagles have a .605 winning strength of victory. The 49ers have a 450, which is really, really, really low. So I don't think that there's any way if the let's just say hypothetically the Eagles and the 49ers won out and were 15-1, not going to happen. But if they were, the Eagles would still get the nod over the 49ers because they don't play each other and because strength of victory. The 49ers schedule is a big reason why we kept saying all offseason. The weak schedule, the coaching, and the relying on blue chip players, how many Hall of Fame worthy players you have, that's got to drive this season. I think that's where it's going to go. Now, having said that same thing, well, you're over the Detroit Lions, who are also 4-1 because they have a divisional loss because they have a conference loss. You're over the Tampa Bay Bucs currently because they have a conference loss. So that's why that's there. So like the conference games carries weight. The 49ers are tied with the Eagles there, but that just kind of lets you kind of see the and like here's the best news. I remember back in 2017 when the 49ers were 0-5. That was the first year we started this podcast. And I was already on tankathon.com looking at, all right, well, where are the 49ers picking? Who else has to win so the 49ers can get a top 5 pick, a top 10 pick, a top whatever pick? It's way more fun whenever instead of looking at mock drafts and, you know, projected draft status, you're looking at playoff seeding. That what a difference a year makes. And last year in November, we were doing mock drafts. And I hated it. Oh, I hated it. It was fun. I love mock drafts. But now, man, we're looking at playoff seedings. I freaking love it. What's up, Josh? He says, tough game against Tampa Bay. Josh is the freaking man. I'll take 4-1 all day. And here is probably the best news of the day. Not only are the 49ers in first place with a comfortable margin, you are getting back a stud, Malik Mustafa. Ooh, just hearing the name just scared me. Mustafa. Ooh, do it again, right? Like, dude, he is back. The 49ers have activated the 21-day practice window for Malik Mustafa, the safety, the budding sophomore, the elite workout warrior off of the PUP list, physically unable to perform. Now, you have 21 days. So, good news, bad news. He's practicing with the defensive backs today. He's been working out on the side and getting ready and in shape, football shape, all that stuff. But now, he gets to put pads on. He gets to go through the drills. He gets to do 7-on-7. He gets to do scale. He gets to do 1v1s. He gets to do team. He gets to do prep work and scout team. He gets to do all that stuff. What is the pace in which you bring him back? Every player is different. But the fact that he is out there practicing on a mini bye week. Today is Monday. It's an extra practice. Today does not count. You don't have to officially turn in a practice report today. It's bonus. Usually this is day off. So what you do is you go out there and you just do a real quick, light, usually 1 hour work, process through some stuff, kind of see what that looks like and blah, 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 blah. You know, see what that looks like. Will he be activated this week? I hope so. Will he start this week? Probably not. I cannot wait for Marquis Siegel and Malik Mustafa to be the starting safeties. Oh, my gosh. Whew. That's going to be sexy. That is going to be sexy. So the 49ers get a little bit positive news on the injury front. Gosh, man. Malik Mustafa being back is just goodness. That is huge because – like, it sucked. You get through week four, and all these players are getting these guys back from the NFI and the PUP and IR. And the Niners, even though they have a bunch of players on that list, that's not the case. And here's what's even more incredible. There might not be one or there might be two more guys coming next week. Working on the side of the practice field today at practice, and this is from Matt Barrows, Mayoko, Cam Inman, a lot of people putting out reports that were there. George Kittle's been working on the side. And I do not expect him to be back this week. I think he comes back next week. But he's not the only player. Ben Bartsch, also working on the signed field. He is available to come off of IR next week as well. Now, I know Ben Bartsch, Mr. Glass, he has more injuries than whatever else. I get it. Left guard has become a problem. Connor Colby, not quite ready. The ceiling is high. And if I put together like his 15 best plays the last 3 weeks, you'd be like, oh my God, this guy's awesome. Because whenever he blocks in the run game, he gets movement. A lot of bad tendencies, not in the best football shape. Got to work on how to handle stunts, still closing. You know, we loaded our offensive film breakdown this morning. So that's up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. And it's still like, it was the one major negative on our draft write-up of him. Dude, he closes his shoulders and hips on that misdirection. Can't redirect quick. As a guard, you have to do that. We're 3 weeks in. It's still an issue. I got Mac hit a couple times because of that. So, like, Ben Bartsch, if he gets healthy, Ben Bartsch is going to start at left guard. That is huge. George Kittle comes back. That helps your run game. The reason why the 49ers run game is not working starts at the interior offensive line. Jake Brendel, Connor Colby, Dominic Pooney. Dominic Pooney playing a little bit better, a little more consistent, but still, those three guys is the number one reason. The number two reason is your tight ends and your wide receivers are not contributing in a great blocking thing. They're not. Your tackles are doing pretty good. Trent's doing great. Colton McKivitt's doing pretty good. There was one play. It was on one of the third and twos right before the half where you did a third down run and got the first down. Colton McKivitt's blocked three guys on one play. Like, Colton McKivitt's, you're getting what you pay for. Is he perfect? No. Did he have mistakes in the pass game? Yes. Does he get beat around the edge a little too often? Yes. But in the run game, you're getting what you're paying for with a little oomph on it. The interior offensive guys, Jake Brendel again, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, just no strength, no physical strength whatsoever. Puna Ford embarrassed the hell out of that dude. Puna Ford put up a highlight tape against Connor Colby and Jake Brendel. It was always on second down. That's what was crazy. It'd be like second and one, and they'd get a tackle for loss because Connor Colby or Jake Brendel just got destroyed. But it wasn't all bad. Jake Brendel had some good plays. Connor Colby had some good plays. Dominic Pooney had some good plays. Like, that is there. Now, other players that were seen on the side field practice in Upton Stout, again, don't rush him back. Go with Chase Lucas. Not an issue. Upton Stout was starting to become a little bit of a liability that last game. And it's going to happen whenever you're playing against Puka Nacua and then Davante Adams, snap in, snap out. You're not going to have that. You look at the wide receivers for Tampa Bay. They're good. They're not Puka Nacua and they're not Davante Adams, but they're good. You'll never play another back-to-back slot wide receiver tandem like that. Maybe in the history of his career, like week 10, you got to play him again, but you don't need to rush Upton Stout back is what I'm saying. It's Monday. It's a bonus practice. Alfred Collins. That one's a little bit of a concern because Kalia Davis had the surgery. Alfred Collins is a starter now. I think he had the injury and played through it, but you know, you give him some time. It's Monday, bonus practice. Let's see where he is Wednesday. Probably limited. You're hoping for limited. Jordan Watkins, still a ways to go on the side field. D Winners. The linebacker position is the one area that you do have a lot of depth, but I need D Winners out there. He's been a problem in the flats, not trusting his under keys and peeking in the backfield too much. He's been beat for 3 touchdowns, all on that same concept. But D Winners still having a good year. Robert Beal, need him out there. Derek Canteen working back on the side field. That's some good news. I like that. No Pearsall, no Christian McCaffrey, no Trent. And one more player back at practice, Jawan Mother Effin Jennings. Gosh, I freaking love that. I freaking love that. I freaking love that. Jawan Jennings back at practice is gigantic. So what I want to go to next, I want to talk about what this wide receiver rotation can look like and will look like for like the next month before the Ayuk timetable gets started, because you're still a month out from that, unless you believe that one report that said he's going to be ready week one, but hopefully you didn't do that. Right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a 5-leg parlay week 1 and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contests, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this football season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is just how simple it is. More or less rushing touchdowns for Saquon Barkley, one more or less. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. Christian McCaffrey upcoming, more or less than 43 receiving yards. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen pass yards, rush yards, touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. And you can follow other Prize Picks players directly on the app and copy their lineups in one click. Whether it's a friend, celebrity partner, or just someone whose picks you like, hit the follow button, check out every lineup they create in the new feed tab on Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Imagine a way to travel that feels personal, comfortable, and connected. Without the price tags and the sterile feeling of hotels or short-term rentals, that's exactly what Kindred provides. It's completely free to join for owners and renters alike. And when you travel with Kindred, there are no hotel costs or rental fees. Just use the credits you've earned. And with every stay comes white glove service, 24/7 trip support, and $100,000 in host protection so that you can focus on the memories, not the logistics. And so whenever I think about traveling, I want it to feel personal and effortless. And that's exactly what Kindred delivers. My home earns me credits, and those credits unlock stays in beautiful homes all over the world. So apply now at livekindred.com. That's L-I-V-E, kindred.com. Use code 49ers, 49ERS, to join for free. Plus, you'll earn 5 nights of travel credit just for signing up. That's livekindred, K-I-N-D-R-E-D.com. Code 49ers. LiveKindred.com. Code 49ers.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
man, if you, there were a couple teaser bets that we had out there. We crushed. Like, one, we're 5 weeks through the season. We have made a profit every single week if you've bet with us. We post our bets every week on the 49ersrush.com. I don't know how long it's going to go. I hope that this continues. And what was cool is I had three different people send me snapshots of their parlay bets. They went off of my bets, which I don't usually do parlays, but I'm going to start including them. And thousands of dollars they made. And they were just very thankful. Dude, salute to you guys. Sign up, Jerry Rice tier and above on our Patreon or the 49ersrush.com. If you bet with us, you increased your bankroll by 75% in 1 week. Five straight weeks profit. And man, we crushed it. Even the games that lost, like we took the Dolphins plus 5.5. They lost, but we had them plus 5.5 points. So we got paid. So that was huge. So like, man, it was such a great week. If you just bet the smallest amount, you would have made 40 plus bucks in 1 week. Come on, man. Ah, dude, yeah, right here. Sin, what's up, Sin? She says, I've been betting with you the last couple. Yeah, let's keep it going, man. I can't say we're going to keep winning, but good gosh, it has been a month of all months. Increasing your bankroll by 75% in 1 week, that does not happen and is not normal. That was what it is. So let's talk wide receivers. I like this comment, Chris. DeMarcus Robinson should be wide receiver one. Juwan Jennings is back at practice, okay? So Ricky Pearsall's not. What should the wide receiver rotation be? Here's my depth chart, okay, top to bottom. The one thing that's like Ricky Pearsall's a Z, and he's only a Z. He plays one spot, and that's it. He took over that Debo role. He's always going to be a Z for the 49ers as long as he is here. That X role is Brandon Ayuk's. But Brandon Ayuk's not coming back anytime soon, okay? Juwan Jennings has played up into that role, and I fully expect him to continue to do so. I think DeMarcus Robinson is probably a little bit better suited for that with his skill set, but I don't think he's there yet. So here's my pecking order for that X position. If Juwan Jennings is practicing, he's the X. Ricky Pearsall is the Z, and I want DeMarcus Robinson being my number three wide receiver, but in 11 personnel, those three wide receiver sets, I'm kicking DeMarcus Robinson to X. I'm kicking Juwan Jennings back to slot, his traditional role. So on three wide receiver sets, X is Robinson. He's my number one, Chris. Z, or your number two, is Ricky Pearsall. In the slot, that's Juwan Jennings. Two wide receiver sets, I want Jennings and Pearsall. My number four is Kendrick Bourne, who can play everywhere if he knows how to line up and knows the motions and audibles and whatever else. But, like, he's coming off a career game. I still don't put Kendrick Bourne, and I'm curious y'all's thoughts. Like, how do you do this one through four? I'm going Jennings one, Pearsall two, DeMarcus Robinson three, Kendrick Bourne four, Sky Moore five, MVS six. I think that's kind of the running back depth chart. But now you have a flow where you can rotate. Two guys don't have to play the entire damn game. It doesn't have to be just Jennings and Pearsall. DeMarcus Robinson and Kendrick Bourne have just proven they are more than capable as backups. They're more than capable as starters. But for the first time this season, I thought that was going to happen the other game, but then Juwan Jennings got hurt. Ricky Pearsall got hurt. Second time this season, you're starting to look like you have somewhat of an adequate wide receiver room. I don't think it's top 10. I don't think it's really top 15, but it's serviceable. You have four quality wide receivers, and I'm including Kendrick Bourne in that. After that performance, I would not have included Kendrick Bourne in that beforehand. But now you have guys that can rotate. That can rotate. Look at this, Logan. We can actually trust Kendrick Bourne sometimes. I don't know what else. I mean, yeah, he crushed it. And you don't win the game against the Rams without Kendrick Bourne. I also think you don't lose the game against the Jacks without Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne, give it and take it away. I think that's where it is. The film, which again is up on the 49ersrush.com, go sign up, 7-day free trial. DeMarcus Robinson had some nice catches. He had some nice routes. He had really good block. Like, DeMarcus Robinson is an NFL wide receiver and just reliable. It would have had a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Just the ball was a little bit floated a little too much from Mac. still caught it, just got 1 foot down, not second foot. But like DeMarcus Robinson is just consistent. And I would say probably the prettiest play of the day was the second half, third and long, back shoulder fade to DeMarcus Robinson on the left side. That was just, ooh, it was right in the second quarter. It was about 18 yards. It put him in the red zone. Oh my gosh. Just, it looked like freaking primetime DeAndre Hopkins out there running routes. It was really, really, really nice. Now I am curious, there we go. Sodia says made $30 off a $1 bet. Jake Tonge's first touchdown score. I love it. The only bet we missed was CMC first touchdown score, but I'm glad you made it. If one of us wins, we all win. That's what's up. Reese says, yeah, we were told week six for BA. What a joke. That was never going to happen. Like, and I kept telling everybody, and people were like, oh, I'm going to go with what the team says and whatever else. And I'm just like, all right. Sorry, I didn't get a drink of coffee. I'll bookmark that. We'll see how it goes. Howdy. Yeah, JJ in the slot is deadly. Now, the 49ers have been predominantly 21, 12. And shoot, there was a 30 on the CMC touchdown. They were in 23 personnel, two backs, three tight ends. Then they motioned to that empty set. And man, you had three linebackers manned up in coverage. And you put one of the slowest ones on CMC. Yeah, you were screwed from the start. Kyle Shanahan cooked on the board on that one. I just love it. DeAndre, you consistently disrespect KB even after a career day. It's BS. I put the whole thing into perspective. Kendrick Bourne, like, I thought Kendrick Bourne was cuttable. Now I'm saying he's the wide receiver four. I have elevated him. Doesn't mean the drops. I think he's second in the NFL in drops. He's played two games. Like, I don't know. I love KB. I do. I wish he blocked. I wish he knew the plays. I wish he knew how to light up. And I wish he didn't drop it as much. But you got to give it to him. 10 catches, 140. You do not beat the Rams without Kendrick Bourne. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry. It's going to be a little bit of a nuanced take. That's what we do here. But yeah, like, he was awesome. He was awesome. There's no doubt about it. Unbelievable game. Do you put him ahead of DeMarcus Robinson in your wide receiver rankings? I think the trust factor is a lot more. And remember, DeMarcus Robinson just got cut off of a team. Like, so it's not just me. Not just me. I want Kendrick Bourne part of this. And when there's an injury, that dude can be a starter. We just saw it. But I'm curious, where would you put him ahead of DeMarcus Robinson? Do you put him ahead of Juwan Jennings? I don't think we want to do that. Yeah, KP is hot right now. That Hansel's so hot right now. Chemistry with Mac 10. That's true. KB and Mac Jones, McCorkle, they go together. Do you elevate him and allow him to get snaps over Juwan Jennings? Do you allow him to get snaps over? And again, DeMarcus Robinson had more snaps in this Thursday night matchup than Kendrick Bourne did. They were the two starters. But yeah, I don't know. Here we go, Reese. Why not after last week? KB was Mac's number one target. He just doesn't block. He doesn't block. That's an issue. D-Rob owns that sideline. What's up, Rusty? How are you? 60% of the time it works, 80% of the time. Dude, I love these references, man. Just like Will Ferrell after Will Ferrell. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, right here. Sardia says, I picked up D-Rob in fantasy. Yeah, Robinson has better hands than the rest of the wide receivers. I agree with that. Any news on Kittle? He's still practicing on the side. Don't expect Kittle back this week. Do not expect Kittle. It's one more week. And so all you're doing is trying to strengthen that hamstring so he doesn't pull it. So he's running on the sideline, not practicing. Strengthening that hamstring so that he can come back next week. I do not expect Kittle back. And here's what's crazy. Jake Tonges, man. Like, everybody wants to talk like, oh, well, let Brock Purdy get healthy because of how well Mac Jones has played. I'm cool with that. Let George Kittle get healthy because of how well Jake Tonges has played. Like, that is a quarterback's different. But when George Kittle gets back, your run game gets better. Your pass game obviously gets better. But that's huge. That is huge. So, Kittle, work it on the side. But don't expect him back this week. Big Papa, my man. If we keep passing the ball as much as we are, we'll eventually set up our outside zone runs. Not so much because we always flank to the flats. So when we're passing so much, and a big reason why the middle of the field is open is because of Christian McCaffrey, right? So what happens is on those pass plays, CMC will go to the flats, which is outside basically that 0 to 10 yards outside the numbers. And so what happens is whether it's an outside zone run or a pass play, those linebacker safeties have to respect that outside. That keeps the middle of the field open. And man, you can look at the first Jake Tonge's touchdown, which is hilarious. You do that little cheap motion, CMC lined up in the, you know, next to Mac Jones in the shotgun. He does the cheap motion out to the flats. Three guys go with CMC. Jake Tonchis, there's not a defender within 10 yards in any direction of him because of this respect for CMC in the receiving game. Christian McCaffrey is on pace to break the all-time record for receiving yards. Are you kidding me? For a running back in a season? All time. Now, Matt Barrows put this stat out. Excuse me. And Johnny Dale said, you know, he went through and did it. Actually, if Christian McCaffrey misses two games but stays on this pace, he still will break that record, which he's gotten close to. If you get 1,100 yards receiving, you break the all-time record. He's on pace for like 1,350 receiving yards. So I know people get upset like, okay, the 49ers have always run the ball so effectively. Your average 2.2 yards per carry against the Rams, and they're one of the worst run defenses out there. They don't even build their defense to stop the rush. Still couldn't do it. But the way this team will continue to win is by throwing the ball and by finding those kind of elongated run plays, checking down to the flats, checking down on the Texas option routes, checking down just to whatever, and it's working. So I know we're used to running the ball. I don't see the outside zone or the outside toss or the outside crack toss or the outside zone toss or the jet sweep or any of those things. I don't see those becoming more fruitful. The one area where you should be able to run the ball is in between the tackles because teams are so hyper-focused on stopping that perimeter edge run. But CMC with these interior offensive linemen, that's not really a good fit. So what do you do? Like Brian Robinson should have some success there. He averaged 2.6 yards per carry, which is better. Still not good. I think as long as Jake Brendel and Connor Colby are there, this is what you have to do. You got to throw the ball. Will there be games where you can run the ball effectively? Maybe once Kittle gets back. Maybe once Juwan Jennings is out there because he's such a damn good blocker when he wants to be. And you need more deep passes. That's what Ricky Pearsall could help with, which I did not think. You never saw that at Florida. You never saw it at Arizona State, like outside of a slot fade, perhaps. That was about it. Or these double moves. But with the way Ricky Pearsall has adjusted to the ball in the air, this dude could be completely covered and still dominate at the catch point. And man, you just put the ball anywhere near number one and he'll come down with it. I think that could help the run game. You've got to have a vertical threat. DeMarcus Robinson, not really that. Kendrick Bourne, not really that. Juwan Jennings, not really that. Ricky Pearsall could be. Brandon Ayuk could be. George Kittle could be. So if you get those guys that can take the top off, that's going to stop teams from buzzing their safeties down to the flats or to that hook curl area. And those are the guys that are helping stop the run because you don't account for a safety in usually your run blocking. You don't do that. You account for first and second tier or level defenders, defensive line, corners, linebackers, usually don't account for the safeties, especially in a split zone safety look, which the Niners are getting a lot of times. So got to have those deep threats. You were hoping MVS could provide that, but I think teams realize he's a decoy. So I think Kittle will help the most with the run game. I think Brock helps considerably with his scrambling and whatever else. And Mac Jones, you're not going to get that, but Mac Jones and Brock Purdy are both hobbled. Neither one of them are really mobile. So the run game's going to take time, guys. I really, really don't think that it's there. Yet. Yeah, and Big Papa, stick with that. When Mac is playing quarterback, I think Kendrick Bourne gives him some confidence. I love that. I love that too. Yeah. Guy, I'm not trying. Why? I'm just being honest with how I feel about Kendrick Bourne. I think he's awesome. You don't win the last game without KB. You do not. You do not. And I know we cherish him for his time with the Niners, and that's awesome. But, like, do we just delete the fact that dude cost, like, was one of the main reasons why he lost the game? Like, that was 2 weeks ago. It wasn't even 2 weeks ago. Gabriel, I like KB's mindset. It says, you're not here to be a number one, but rather to help the rest of the wide receiver room. Same thing with Mac Jones. Get guys that are a fit. KB's a fit. And even when Brandon Ayuk comes back, I want KB in the rotation. What did he say in that same interview? Like, man, my role, my job, get me in here on third downs. Playing a role. Playing a role. That's where I want him to be. That's where I want him to be. RTP. He says, not about putting him ahead of anyone. Just stop killing him for a bad game. So, like, we lift him up for a good game, but we can't criticize for a bad game. Maybe it wipes it out. For some, that's okay. I think it's both and. It's not either or. I think it's both. You don't win that game without him. And I've said it like 10 times, but that's okay. I know people love KB. And, dude, keep loving KB. I'm not saying don't love him. I'm saying he would be number four on my depth chart. But, yeah, the Mac Jones. With Mac Jones playing. With Mac Jones playing. I don't mind that slight bump. But that's what I want. Like, if Juwan Jennings is banged up with the ankle, shoulder, ribs, whatever else, if Ricky Pearsall is banged up with the knee, he's not practicing yet. But, man, like, do a healthy rotation here. Let's get them going, man. You've got four wide receivers that you have confidence in now. That's the first time you said that. Second time, because after that, I forget what game it was where everybody got hurt. But, man. Like, this is a wonderful place to be. And if somebody gets going hot, well, guess what? You ride that hot hand. I think your starters are Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall. Those are your two. But, man, if KB's out there doing some third down work, dude, let's get KB some more snaps. He can play all three wide receiver positions. DeMarcus Robinson can play all three wide receiver positions. Juwan Jennings can play two wide receiver positions. Ricky Pearsall can play two wide receivers. Like, you have scheme versatility with your wide receivers, and I think that's huge. I think that is huge. I really, really do. Yeah, not talking PFF, whatever. He says, I say SNF, Sunday night, Falcons back. Gosh, man, I can't wait for that game. And that's the thing. If you get Ben Barch back, if you get George Kittle back, if you get Malik Mustafa back, dude, that's three starters. That's three starters. Reese, right here. What have you seen from Connor Colby? I think he's doing... He's done a phenomenal job for the rookies playing next to Trent. I would disagree with that, Reese. He has, man, we have developed some really bad trends on the inside with this idea of just the bad balance. We're lunging a lot, not bringing our feet in blocks. And this is Pooney 77, Brindle 64, 75, Connor Colby. All three of our interior guys where their feet stop, they lunge forward. They miss, and then their head, you know, feet out over their skis, which is one of the things you look for when you're watching offensive line evaluations. There's just some really bad technique-driven things with all three of the interior guys. A lot of lunging. They're really good for the first count, which is why you get these hyper-athletic, undersized offensive linemen, because they can move. Lateral agility, that's valuable in the Shanahan scheme. They have that. All three of those guys have that. Jake Brindle's probably the most athletic center in the NFL. The problem is that today's NFL defensive linemen are very athletic and very strong. The problem with these undersized guys is the functional strength in the run game does not apply. So if you take a screenshot of Connor Colby, 75, 64, 77, one count, a count and a half, two counts, two and a half counts, three counts into this play of a run game, any one. For the first count, man, look at this. A count and a half, man, everybody's right where they should be. But then, two counts, oh, wow, Jake Brindle's getting pushed back. Connor Colby's off balance, lost blocking. He's no longer between his guy. Two and a half counts. Okay, both those two guys just tackled CMC for a two-yard gain. That's graded as positive on PFF. Why? Because they got to their guy and they blocked him for a count. That's great. But they don't have the functional strength and they don't bring their feet to continue blocking past a second. So, like, the amount of times that Jake Brendel or Connor Colby's guy makes the tackle in the run game, it's so high. But then you look at it and you're like, wait, Jake Brendel's the highest graded run blocker according to PFF. And it's like, nah, bro. Like, the eye test matters. And so, like, whenever you have this grading rubric, there's ways to take advantage of it. And yeah, for a count, Jake Brendel looked awesome. Did he get blocked 5 yards backwards and he hit the ball carrier and knocked him down? Yeah. Is Jake Brendel on the ground after the play? Yeah. Is Jake Brendel, like, you know what I mean? So, with every, whether it's, you know, AP testing, which I've done, or teaching or whatever, you can always manipulate the rubric if you know the way that it goes. I'm not saying Jake Brendel does that. I'm not saying Chris Forster does that, but I'm saying that is what's happening with PFF. Not by any of the players, like, oh, hey, if we do this, we'll get good PFF scores. I don't think people care about that. But I do not think Connor Colby has played well. I think that he needs time to set back and get in better shape. His play goes down throughout the game. I don't think the injury hurt him a lot and being thrust in this position. He didn't respond like we saw Pooney from last year respond. And Dominique Pooney's not playing amazing either, if I'm going to be honest with you. He's really not. He looks like he's injured. Interior offensive line play is the biggest concern on this team, even more so than pass rush. Do I think that you trade for a guard? I don't think they will. I think they're hoping Ben Barge comes back and that kind of picks up the play there. I do think you trade for a defensive end, though. And we're getting closer to that. And now you're starting to see some teams that are going to become sellers. The Jets have to be in that. They're 0-5. They have to. So let's turn our focus to some of that, and let's look at some NFL standings and some teams that I think the 49ers could poach from right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, man, this weekend, it is game time. Maybe one of the best games of the season is right on par. 49ers at the Tampa Bay Bucks, 4-1, division leader, definitely going to have playoff implications. If you're coming out to Tampa Bay this week, holy freaking cow, we're going to be partying on the beach out in Clearwater. Really short Uber drive over. We'll be at Coco's North Beach Saturday on the 11th from 2 to 6 p.m. Come party on the beach. Have a good time. Kids always free. And then our tailgate. Man, the most premium of premium tailgate starts at 1 p.m. with the adjusted time. The NFL flexed this game. That's how important it's going to be. We're going to be right in front of the stadium, right by Lot C. It's about as close to the stadium as you can get. We were there last year. Unbelievable time with the Leatherheads. It was such a cool time. So come on out with us. Get your tickets on the 40 on the TickPick app. Just search 49ers Rush, two separate words. It'll pull up. Follow us. Come join us, or just click the link in the description of this video podcast. I cannot freaking wait. Ah, it's so close. Tampa, we had such a good time last year. So very, very excited about that. So if you know anybody coming out, let them know. Just send them over for what we got and just say, hey, man, there's this other group of people that are going out to the Tampa Bay. So go party with them. Always a good time. So now let's talk other teams that are starting to get into sell mode. There's only one team that is defeated, and that is the Jets. That is a positive. That is a giant, giant positive. Mainly because, yeah, and Sonya right here, is there anyone decent on the Jets? They're on five. There are lots of decent players. One, Robert Saleh was their head coach for the past four seasons. So you kind of add in that fact that there's familiarity with the system. These are guys that he's high on. He knows their attitudes. He knows kind of what they do, what they don't do. He knows all those things. So I think that that's kind of very, very important. And, you know, I'm going to do a full show at some point this week where I just go through. Now, keep in mind this. I'm not sure if the 49ers will trade for anybody this week. I think you continuously see what you have. And as you get closer to the trade deadline, then you kind of pull the trigger. But I think there might only be one or two teams that are quote unquote selling. What you got to pay attention to is when coaches or GMs get fired, which none has happened yet. I don't think the Jets are going to fire Glenn. Maybe they should. I don't think that was a good hire personally, but I don't want, anyway, that's a whole separate conversation. The Jets are going to sell without firing their coach. Miami, gosh, that was a bad loss. Like, they could be moving on from their coach. A lot of those guys will be scheme fits as well for the 49ers. They're running a multiple look, more of an odd front, so not a direct translation. But again, you're looking at defensive ends, right? Cleveland, obviously, whatever. Baltimore, they're an odd front, which is weird to say Baltimore at this point, but that defense is the worst. I think the Baltimore Ravens have the worst defense in the NFL, which is crazy. Mike McDonald's that good. Tennessee got a win, but Arden Key is probably, if I could have anybody that makes the most sense, Arden Key, I would love to have him back just because he's been here. And again, when you're looking at these, you're looking at expiring contract players. So like I'm seeing like Granderson put in there, man, you look at his contract, dude, that's like back to back 16 plus million. And he's got multiple years left on his deal. I don't see that. Cam Jordan's a guy I want, but Johnny Dale looked into his contract and those incentives. Like I don't think that that would work for the Saints to do it, because if they trade him, that triggers like 18 million dead cap to get rid of them that they spread out over multiple years. Like, it's possible, but I don't think so. Like, look for players on expiring rookie contracts. There's not a lot of them. But if that doesn't work, then you're looking at veterans on expiring contracts. If you see multiple years on that, it doesn't work as well for the 49ers. Here's why. 49ers are comp pick kings, okay? So let's do an example of this. Let me go look at, where's the Tennessee Titans at here? Okay, so the Tennessee Titans, we're looking at their edge rushers, right? Arden Key. Arden Key is in the last year of his deal. Last year of his deal, okay? You know, how much they would say. Now, they've got some void years that would trigger whatever else. But here's the thing with the Titans. If the Titans... they're not going to get comp picks. They're not. They are a buying team, right? So bad teams have to bring in free agents to build a roster. Quality teams like the 49ers, like the Ravens, this is another reason why I don't think the Ravens sell, because they will get compensation picks back. So you're not going to get anybody from the Ravens more than likely. But the Tennessee Titans are not factors in that compensation pick formula program. They're not. So the Titans are going to lose Arden Key on an expiring contract and get nothing in return, because they're going to go out and sign a bunch of free agents because they have cap room, because they have a bad roster and all those things. So they're not going to get anything from losing Arden Key. So the 49ers come in and say, hey, we'll give you a fourth round pick for Arden Key. I'm just throwing that out there. Whatever. Fifth round pick, whatever you think. Let's say fourth round pick for Arden Key. He's 29 years old. Let him come play for us. The 49ers will send that fourth pick. Arden Key comes, plays out the season. He's 29. How much is he making? He's making about $7 million a year. Then, after this season, he goes signs another two-year contract, making $8 to $9 million a year. The 49ers get a fifth-round comp pick back in return. So you're just swapping a fourth-rounder for a fifth-rounder. You're getting Arden Key rest of the year. You know he fits your scheme. You know he fits your style. You know he fits exactly what you want. That's where that kind of fits. So look for players on expiring contracts. As soon as they get those kind of 2 years, whatever else, and, you know, whatever. So, Sin, would Jermaine Johnson, Michael Clemens, Will McDonald, would they be fit? So let's play this same conversation out. Will McDonald, dude, I love Will McDonald. He's signed through next year. That's a two-year rookie deal. Not a lot of teams give up on 26-year-old edge rushers. So you're going to have to pay a premium to pry him away from the Jets, and this will not factor into your compensation pick formula because he's signed next year. So you would trade, man, that's going to cost a third at cheapest, and you're going to have to keep him for 2 years. Then if he leaves, you get the compensation pick 2 years after that. I love Will McDonald. I think that that would play perfectly. Jermaine Johnson's already got an all-pro year. He's signed. They already picked up his fifth-year option. He was a first-round pick. Like, he's got his cap hit next year is $13.4 million. I don't think the Niners could take that. I don't think the Jets are willing to give up. He has an all-pro freaking year already, and he's 26. Michael Clemens, this is on the other side. Michael Clemens is not a great player. He's not. He was a fourth-round pick out of Texas A&M. He's got a couple sacks. He's a rotational player on an expiring contract. Like, if you ask me, if the Niners are going to trade for anybody, it's somebody like a Michael Clemens that's a depth piece that you're going to get for like a sixth. Not going to move the needle. It's not sexy. It's not Travion Henderson. But this is kind of how the 49ers do this. I don't want Michael Clemens, but that is a value play. You're going to have to overpay for McDonald. You're going to have to spend a second to get Jermaine Johnson and the salary cap hit. I just do not see that in the cards personally, right? And the Niners get $7 million in cap relief from the Bosa insurance thing. That's great. Doesn't mean they're going to spend it. I wish they would, but that $7 million, if you trade for Jermaine Johnson, that's you got to come up with another $10 million. See what I'm saying? So you're looking for expiring rookie contracts. That's best. Niners will pay for that. You're looking for expiring veteran contracts. You see those 2 years left on a deal, that's kind of like a yield sign. You see 2 years plus heavy cap hits in the future, that's a stop sign. Niners ain't interested. Niners ain't interested. And it's got to make sense for the other teams as well. Yeah, the Raiders, I want Adam Butler is who I want. For the Raiders, their pass rushing defensive tackle, but he's got 2 years left on his deal. He's older. I would freaking love that deal personally. Max Crosby, 0% chance. He's the most important player to their franchise. They're not trading Max Crosby. You're talking three first. Tyree Wilson, he fits what the Niners do. He's still got a whole full another year on his deal. I don't think that that would happen. I would love that. But yeah, I want Adam Butler. That would be awesome. Outside of that, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not really seeing anybody that's really as far as an edge or whatever else. You and Leki Fuutu, like he's on an expiring contract, 27, but not really going to not pass rushing upside, whatever else. So you got to pay attention to those teams that are sellers. The Raiders should be sellers. How bad is that? They signed the oldest coach in the league. They get one of the older quarterbacks in the league, pay him a premium. They draft a running back, win now. They built that team to compete right now, and they suck. They built that team to compete right. You got Chip Kelly'd. That's what Chip Kelly don't belong in the NFL. He doesn't. He belongs in college. You didn't learn. Well, you're going to learn now because you got an old-ass roster in a win-now mode, and you suck now. Steven, he says, values are great. Winning a Super Bowl is better F than picks. Yeah, I know you're being sarcastic there, but, like, Niners don't operate under that construct. What has the theme been all year? Cheaper, younger. I don't think that gets thrown out of the window. And so if you can get an older player that can come in and pat something up, that's great, but not at expense of the future and those young picks, which you have to build. And you're looking at back-to-back drafts of great, great. You have bolstered. You have swallowed. You have taken your medicine, swallowed the pill, and it's paying off. You're 4-1. The schedule helps. The coaching helps. Ooh. Yeah. So, like, you kind of got to be careful there. Like, I know, like, a lot of people are like, well, the Rams, they did it, and they guaranteed a Super Bowl. No, they didn't. Tart drops an interception. Should have lost a game before that. The freaking stupid phantom pass interference penalty on Cooper Kupp. Like, should have lost to the Bengals. Like, they did not. Did they win it? Yes. Did they get a lot of help? Yes. There is no world where, hey, if we do this, we're guaranteeing a championship. That does not happen. That does not exist. A lot of times, ball's got to bounce your way, got to get some help, all those different things. Right here from OMG. Any players on the Panthers? If we're just looking at edge, man, they don't they play like that 3-4 system, but man, they're edge players. They already traded them all. I can't believe they traded Brian Burns. Derek Brown's a foundational piece. Not really. A'shaun Robinson. He's not on an expiring contract. $11 million next year. No. He's good, though. They're edge players. Oof. DJ Wonnum. Is he on expiring deal? No, he's signed. Nope, he's not. Maybe DJ Wonnum you could get, but he's got an extra year on there. Nick Scorton, rookie. Prince of Young, rookie. Thomas Income, no. Patrick Jones. What's Patrick Jones? Signed through 2 years? No. Like, that's the thing. These teams suck. They suck for a reason. And a big reason why they suck is because they don't have good players. And if they do have good players, you keep them. Their interior, freaking Derek Brown is awesome. That dude, he signed, you know, he's signed. You're not trading for him. His cap hit next, he got a $47 million, or yeah, you're not $24.5 million next year, $28 million, 2027. You're not trading for him. There is 0% chance. But I do love Derek Brown. That dude's a stud. So yeah, like that's the thing. You look at these bad teams and it's like, oh, maybe they should. They ain't got nobody to trade. So, but that's going to change. That's going to change as you get closer and as these teams stay bad. I think that will. Derek Brown's a freaking stud. Dolphins make some sense. I do. The Dolphins make a lot of sense. And you look at their edge. Yeah. Bradley Chubb. Badass. Not happening. You're not getting Bradley Chubb. Let me tell you why you're not getting Bradley Chubb. Next year cap hit, $31.2 million. 2027 cap hit, $31.5 million. 2028 cap hit, and a void year, $4.6 million. You're not trading for Bradley Chubb. You're not. You're not trading for him. Even if the Miami Dolphins say, hey, we'll take half of these cap hits, give us a second round pick. I still don't see that happening. Jalen Phillips, expiring deal. I would love Jalen Phillips. And I know people are like, well, isn't he injured all the time? He's got a long ass injury, whatever. Dude, I would trade for Jalen Phillips in a damn heartbeat. Oh my gosh. Sorry, Jordan Phillips. He is so freaking good. No, I was right. It is Jalen Phillips. I've done this twice on this stupid show, and I apologize. The show's not stupid. I'm stupid. You look at freaking Jalen Phillips, that dude, what he has accomplished. Oh, come on. Don't freeze on me now. Let's go, man. Come on. Let's go. My stat sheet never freezes, and for some reason doesn't like Jalen Phillips. Here we go. Sacks. He's only got one sack this year, and it was in the Carolina game that they lost. That's crazy. He's only got one tackle for loss. He has not had a great season so far, if I'm being honest. Dude, that is the type of guy you need. It's going to cost, but dude, Jalen Phillips, I would give a third for Jalen Phillips and be so freaking happy. So happy. Oh, Jalen Phillips, expiring contract. Really? Really? Sure as hell is. Now his cap hit this year, because it's a fifth year, first round pick, whatever, $13.2 million. But, man, I wonder how much of that is, you know, per game, whatever. I don't want to get into that live on the show. Dude, Jalen Phillips makes sense. That dude, oh. And you might be able to get him at a discount. Jeffrey Simmons, you're talking 3 first-round picks to get him. That's a foundational core player. They are not going to trade him. I love Jeffrey Simmons. He's, as far as a football player. Anyway, that's where that is. But Jalen Phillips, check, 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 check. Expiring rookie contract. Team that's selling. Major need. Might be able to get a little bit of value out off of him. Hasn't played great this year. Oh, 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 oh. Y'all get me a little too excited over here. Dude, yeah, you ain't getting A-Chain. yeah, they're going to build around him for the future. And even if we had A-Chain, would we use him? CMC, you're going to take all those snaps no matter what. I do like A-Chain. I do. He's an A&M guy, but he is damn good. Yeah. Chase Young too much. Yeah, his contract. You can't trade for that contract. dude, they paid him out the freaking A. You already had him in the building once, and it worked out. Yeah, Chase Young has three years left on his deal, 26, 27, and two void years. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Can't do it. Anyway, the 49ers in first freaking place by a lot. And man, maybe the game of the year. Here's what's crazy, real quick, before we get out of here. I got to go get ready for the wife's birthday. I'm excited. The 49ers gauntlet of a schedule, like the three-game toughest slide of this entire 25 schedule, which you have one of the easiest in the NFL, was Jags, Rams, Bucks. Not even close. There's no other area on this roster that your two hardest games are Rams, Bucks. Those are the two best quarterbacks that you play against. Baker Mayfield, possible MVP. Matthew Stafford. Like, those are the two best. I'm definitely not going to put Trevor Lawrence in there, but that's a quality team. They're a good football team. There is no other space where you have a three-game stretch like this. Now, you lost to the Jags. You beat the Rams, which was the most important game that you had left on your schedule. Now you got the Bucks. The Bucks is important. It's a conference game. It's not division, but like, it's going to have playoff implications. Dude, you win this game, and then it's like, okay, Niners are closer to that one seed than they are anything else. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you win this game on the road with a backup quarterback. I expect Mac to be playing. Oh, yeah, man, that would be huge. This game's huge. I'm not going to put it up there with the week 10 game against the Rams or the week 18 game against the Seahawks, but I think I would put this at number three, most important game left on the schedule. Rams 1, Seahawks 2, because that's a home game. Both those are home games, actually. So yeah, I think the Rams are better than the Seahawks, but I think they're pretty close. I think they're both pretty close. Those two, and then the Bucks game. This is the third most important game. This is, I think, the best game on the slate for the entire NFL this week. Whew. Right here, Strawberry. John, I'm concerned. Mac hasn't been great when blitz. Bowles will blitz. Yes, he does. One of the like most monotone, boring head coach press conferences, but by far one of the best coach teams. Todd Bowles is just, he's a machine, and he blitzes. And Lavonte David's still doing his thing, man. Like, they are freaking good. There's a concern. It's going to be tough. But, like, the Bucs haven't blown one team out. 49ers haven't blown one team out. They're both scrappy, gritty, tough as hell, like, going down fighting. Like, you got to kill me to win this game. It's both these teams. Oh, it's going to be fun. Yeah, right here. Bucs going to be a good measuring stick. Oh, what's up, J-Sub? Says happy birthday to the wife. I appreciate that. That's nice. That's nice. We still play the Colts, but that's not a conference game, so I don't mind losing that. Yeah, the Colts are good. And shoot, you want to put Daniel Jones, Indiana Jones, in that conversation of best quarterbacks? He's playing unreal. That defense is unbelievable. Might be the best defense in the NFL. Yeah, that's going to be important. But that three-game stretch is bye week, Tennessee Titans, Colts, Bears. Yeah, that's, you know what I mean? Like, you're playing Jags, Rams, Bucks. That Colts game's going to be fun. We'll be there for the 49ers rush road trip. I've never been to that stadium. Been to 24. I'm excited about those one. Ooh. 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 Look at this big tone. Chapman has an encyclopedia of references. Thank you. That's all I want. I want to be known for my memes and my movie references. There is not much else I care about in this world. I care about you guys. I care about my family, and I care about having a good time and helping people. That's it. I'm very simple. But yeah, I might put my memes and my references up higher. Sick reference, bro. Everybody knows that about you. Always sick references. this is the end. You guys are the best. The Niners, best in the West. We've got a Wayne, John and Wayne show, regular week of programming. I'll be flying out Friday to get all the events settled for Tampa Bay. Man, I really hope you're coming to party with us on the beach in Clearwater. Are you kidding me? This is a dream come true for me. And then our tailgate, which is going to be awesome. So come join us. Get your tickets on the Tick Pick app. Search 49ers Rush. We are going to be there. I hope you're there too. It's going to do it for us today. You guys are unbelievable. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.